Hello everyone, welcome back to Logical Bible Study. I hope you're enjoying learning new things about the Gospel of Mark. And we're continuing in the Gospel of Mark today, so we'll look at the text of chapter 12, verses 38 to 44. So if you have your Bible, grab it out and let's take a look at the text, and then we'll have a go at pulling the text apart and seeing what it means in its original context. What might the literal sense be? So Mark chapter 12, verses 38 to 44. In his teaching, Jesus said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk about in long robes, to be greeted obsequiously in the market squares, to take the front seats in the synagogues and the places of honour at banquets. These are the men who swallow the property of widows while making a show of lengthy prayers. The more severe will be the sentence they receive." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the treasury, and many of the rich put in a great deal. A poor widow came and put in two small coins, the equivalent of a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "I tell you solemnly, this poor widow has put in more than all who have contributed to the treasury. For they have all put in money they had over, but she, from the little she had, has put in everything she possessed, all she had to live on." So what's been happening just prior to this? So Jesus has been in the temple. It's the last week of his life. He's been arguing with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, and they've all been trying to trap him. There's a big crowd of people watching, and he's just taught them about the relationship between the Messiah and David. And now we get here to verse 38. It says, in his teaching, so we're talking about in the temple here, this probably on the same day, and Jesus is now directing his comments to the crowd. He says, "Beware of the scribes." So scribes were like the professional law theologians. They understood the law very well, and their job was to teach people the law, particularly in Jerusalem. There was a lot of scribes. They were some of the most highest ranking people in Jewish society. Their word was considered to have very weighty authority. Whatever the scribes said, basically people trusted. Now, Matthew's version of this scene is a little longer. So if you look at Matthew chapter 23, it tells us that Jesus is not just talking about the scribes. He actually is talking about the Pharisees as well. Now, why would Mark leave that out? Well, possibly because already in Mark, earlier, Jesus has already told the apostles to beware of the Pharisees. We see that in chapter 8, verse 15. So maybe Mark felt that he wanted to give the Pharisees a break, maybe, and just make the focus of this particular part the scribes, although it would appear that if we add in Matthew's gospel as well, the comments are about both the Pharisees and the scribes. Now, as we go, it's important to note that Jesus does not want people to just avoid the scribes, as in, don't talk to them, don't listen to them, because he's praised them in verse 24. Earlier here, he actually praised one of them. But rather, what he's saying here is that he wants the Jewish crowd to avoid their conduct, to not be like them. And here's what they do wrong. He says they like to walk about in long robes. So Matthew's version says he's talking about tassels specifically. So tassels were considered to be the religious part of Jewish clothing, and they particularly represented the Jewish responsibility to keep the commandments. If you look at Numbers chapter 15, verses 38 to 39, the commandment to wear long tassels is associated with being exceptionally religious. And the Pharisees and the scribes had their clothes specially designed to have long tassels, so to emphasize that they are quite religious people. Jesus goes on, they like to be greeted obsequiously in the marketplaces. It's an interesting translation, but it basically means to be saluted or to have salutations in the marketplace. They expected everyone to give them a special greeting in the marketplace because of their status. And we know from history that people were expected to actually stand up whenever a scribe passed by. That was the level of respect that was expected to be shown of the scribes. Verse 39, they like to take the front seats in the synagogues. So the scribes would deliberately go out of their way to sit at the front of the synagogues in various towns so that the Jewish people there would know how important they are. And also the front seats were directly in front of the ark, which contained the sacred scrolls. So they like to show themselves as religious by sitting close to the ark. And they take the places of honour at banquets. And certainly the presence of a distinguished scribe or scholar would be considered to be an ornament to the feast, and they liked to play that up. Basically, the scribes liked people to give them attention and homage. They're more interested in being served rather than serving the Jewish people, which is not good as leaders. And that's why Jesus spends quite a bit of time in the Gospels telling the apostles that when they end up being the leaders of his church, he doesn't want them to be like the Pharisees and the scribes who lorded over the people, but rather serve people. He wants servant leadership, which is the opposite of what the scribes and the Pharisees were doing. Verse 40, he continues, "These are them who swallow the property of widows." So scribes were forbidden to receive payment for teaching. They couldn't get people to pay them for their services. That was forbidden. So they basically had to rely on private donations. And they framed it in such a way where they encouraged people to donate to them, and because it was considered to be a meritorious act of piety to support a scribe. They had all sorts of other ways of charging excessive legal fees to people who consulted them for their legal services. And that certainly would reflect Jesus' view of the temple as had becoming a den of thieves by the time he gets there in chapter 11. Why does it mention widows here? They swallow the property of widows. Well, widows were quite poor in that culture, and it's possible that widows would fall for the crafty words of the scribes, and they would end up giving a lot of their money to the scribes because they thought that they were doing a religious thing. And they didn't have a whole lot of money, so they ended up giving pretty much all that they had to these scribes. So that's what Jesus means about they swallow the property of widows or devour the property. Interestingly, just after this, we're about to see an example of a real widow coming to do something with her money. So Mark probably deliberately mentions the widow part of Jesus' speech here because we're about to see a widow. Jesus continues, he says, "They make a show of lengthy prayers." So by publicly making long prayers, the scribes could make themselves appear more holy. The problem is not the length of their prayers. Jesus isn't condemning long prayers here. He's condemning the selfish intent of the scribes when they do their prayers. He then says this, which is interesting, "The more severe will be the sentence they receive." This is probably a reference to eternal punishment, about what's going to happen to them on Judgment Day. We know that a teaching of Jesus is that those in positions of responsibility will have greater accountability for their actions on Judgment Day. Since the scribes were in a position of responsibility to look after and teach God's people, and in fact, instead they have been selfish and they have abused their position, then Jesus says they're going to receive a harsh condemnation on Judgment Day. That warning should apply to all religious teachers today in the church as well. If you're in a position of leadership of teaching and looking after people, God holds those people to a high level of accountability. Notice what this verse teaches. It teaches that some will receive more punishment than others on Judgment Day, and that's interesting. Jesus' sternest words are kept for those who abuse religion for personal gain or human praise and who cause the weak who are trying to seek God to stumble. That's the group that Jesus has the biggest problem with, those who should be leading people to God but are instead leading people away from God. Now, in Matthew's version of this, in Matthew 23, Jesus goes on to give a longer speech where he's talking to his disciples, "You, however, must not allow yourself to be called rabbi," and he goes on from there. Mark's version shortens it a bit though. So verse 41, it now says, "He sat down," and that's the position of teaching. And in this case, he appears to just be sitting and watching the temple. He watches the people put the money into the treasury. Now, this is kind of like a voluntary donation box for the temple. That's where people could voluntarily contribute their money. As far as we know, there were 13 trumpet-shaped collection boxes in the Court of Women where people could put in these donations. The money from these donations was used to help support the priests and their work, as well as other special projects that the temple might be working on. Jews were expected to put money into the treasury. It was not required because they already had taxes to pay, but they were expected to do these additional donations to support the work of the temple. Jesus sits here and he notices that many of the rich put in a great deal. All of the money back then was copper coins, so when a person put in a large amount, they were literally pouring out a whole lot of copper coins in there, so it would have made a lot of noise, it would have drawn a lot of attention to the person putting the money in. Verse 42, then a poor widow comes along. Widows were poor in that culture because their husband has died, and usually the husband would be the one that financially supports the wife. But their husband is dead, so they no longer have much money. In that culture, they actually had no legal rights, and they had to rely on their children or other relatives to support them. They were considered to be very low on the social ladder, and they weren't treated very well. That's why the Bible, both the Old Testament and the New Testament, spends a lot of time talking about how God expects people to look after the widows in particular, because they are the most vulnerable. In fact, later in the book of James, James will say that true religion is this, to take care of widows. So what she puts in to the donation box is two small coins, so that would be two copper coins. In Jewish currency, that would be two leptons, and Mark here tells us the equivalent of that is one penny. So one Roman coin was equivalent to two lepton, two Jewish coins. So these lepton, 128 of them, make up a day's wage. So the normal wage would be you get about 130 of them a day. Jesus here says this woman puts in two and that's all she has. She only has two. Now, the text here says she put in two rather than one, so she did not spare even what she could justifiably have kept for herself. So, justifiably, she could have kept one. That would be fair, but instead she puts in everything she has financially. Verse 43, he called his disciples to him. So notice he has been teaching the crowds, but now he's going to look at his disciples in particular and teach them this particular teaching. So, He says, I tell you solemnly, so we're about to hear an important instruction. This poor widow has put in more than all who have contributed to the treasury, for they have all put in money they had over, but she, from the little she had, has put in everything she possessed, all she had to live on. Sometimes you'll hear this translated as, they have given out of their abundance, and she has given out of her poverty. The key message here, and this is pretty well understood by most people, I think, is that God is pleased with sacrifice. He's not as pleased when people put in a tiny proportion of what they could actually give. He's more pleased when people make big sacrifices for him. So although the rich were putting in more money numerically, it doesn't really mean much to them. It doesn't hurt them to be giving what they're giving, apparently. And so it's not really making a sacrifice, whereas the widow has given a large proportion of what she has. And it truly is a sacrifice for her that she is making to God. So really, what Jesus is teaching his disciples here, why does he feel the need to mention it? He's encouraging them to not see with the eyes of the world, because sometimes that can be deceiving. He's saying that God sees things differently than the world does, particularly in terms of people's internal motivations. In contrast with the greed and the hypocrisy of the scribes, Jesus holds this woman up as an example of true generosity and piety. Indeed, she is truly relying on God to provide the next meal. Let's finish today by looking at some passages from the Catechism. Paragraph 678 is about Judgment Day. It says, following in the steps of the prophets and John the Baptist, Jesus announced the judgment of the last day in his preaching. Then will the conduct of each one and the secrets of hearts be brought to light. Then will the culpable unbelief that counted the offer of God's grace as nothing be condemned. Our attitude to our neighbour will disclose acceptance or refusal of grace and divine love. On the last day, Jesus will say, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. So there, it talks about how Jesus, as well as other people in the Bible, do reference Judgment Day. And certainly Jesus does that here when he condemns the scribes. Paragraph 2444, this is in the section about love for the poor. And it references here the widow as an example of the poor. The church's love for the poor is a part of her constant tradition. This love is inspired by the gospel of the Beatitudes, of the poverty of Jesus, and of his concern for the poor. Love for the poor is even one of the motives for the duty of working, so as to be able to give to those in need. So that is the end of today's episode. I hope you have learned something new. If you have, please tell others about this ministry, and hopefully we will see you again tomorrow. Hi everyone, just a special message that I wanted to tack on to the end of today's episode. If you've been listening to this particular passage today as part of the weekday cycle of readings, so if you're listening to this on Saturday of week 9 in ordinary time, this is the last passage you'll hear from the Gospel of Mark. There is more to the Gospel of Mark. It goes up to chapter 16, but you don't hear that as part of the weekday cycle. You'll hear parts of chapter 13 to 16 on some of the Sundays in year B. And at the start of chapter 13, which is the very next passage, if you were to go on reading Mark, you would see Jesus foretelling the destruction of the temple. That particular passage, the start of Mark chapter 13, is never covered in the lectionary. So if you want to dive into this really fascinating passage where Jesus predicts the destruction of the temple and also what people have interpreted to be Jesus' prediction about the end of the world, it's really quite fascinating. We will look at that as a bonus episode of the podcast for those who are Patreon supporters. So if you'd love to get access to that episode and all the other missing parts of the Gospels, which are never covered in the lectionary, then please consider becoming a Patreon supporter. Now, on Monday, if you're listening as part of the weekday cycle, on Monday of week 10, we're going to start looking at the Gospel of Matthew. So this might be a really good time to share this podcast with others because we're starting something new on Monday. Help them get to know the Gospel of Matthew a bit better by going through it systematically, verse by verse, as we do in this podcast. So please consider telling someone about this podcast so they're ready to start with us as we explore Matthew from Monday onwards. Once again, thank you so much for your support of this ministry. If you want to hear those last parts of the Gospel of Mark, so the missing sections from chapter 14, chapter 15, then you can access that through the Patreon page, and there's a link for that in the episode description. I hope you will prayerfully consider supporting this independent ministry. It only grows with your support as the listener. Thanks once again, and hopefully you'll tune in for our series in Matthew starting on Monday.